Colossians chapter 4, I asked my wife to sing that, thinking of Onesimus. We'll probably get to him a little bit today. In this list that Paul presents of all these heroic believers, it's an amazing thing to consider what these men have done in the ministry and what they really mean and truly who they represent. I hope you get that vision today. As they were, we are. Amen. That's the truth. Chapter 4, we're just going to read 3 verses. This will be part 1, obviously. There's no way to get through this whole list of 10 different individuals. That's like 10 messages all in one. So we're going to break it down. We know this is coming to the conclusion of the epistle we've been studying. Verse 7. All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts, with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. They shall make known unto you all things which are done here. Let's pray. Father, we thank you once again for the Apostle Paul. Thank you, Lord, for all the men and women that you put in his life that ministered unto his needs, that became fellow laborers in the ministry. Father, help us to learn the lessons that we need today. There's a great need for fellow laborers, for faithful ministers, for beloved brethren, for fellow servants, as we see him described here in our text. So, Father, teach us what we need to know to be faithful unto you, unto your coming or unto our death. So, Father, help us today. Open up our eyes. May the Holy Spirit be the one teaching. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Michelle, I'm going to need another water. I've already drank one short bottle. So we see in our text, if you would read down the rest of it, you'd find a list of believers. And this is basically a roll call of his fellow laborers in the ministry. Now remember, we've been dealing with the Gnostic believers or Gnostic heresies. And obviously Paul is now completely ignoring that cult because they were so way off course. And they have their own agenda, and Paul's going to leave them to their apostasy. So in the latter part of this text, his epistle, in the closing remarks, he embraces those of like precious faith. Amen. And the names ring out: Tychicus, Onesimus, along with Aristarchus, Marcus, Archippus, and the rest. They stood for truth. These were the ones standing up and fighting the battles. They stood for the apostles' doctrine. Obviously, Paul could have listed many names on here. And the full roll call awaits the judgment seat of Christ. I hope you're going to be on that roll call. That's what we need to get in our minds today. There is going to be a roll call, just like this short list. It's going to be, there's going to be one in heaven, amen. And all those who have marched to the beat of Paul's drum. And that's, again, I realize the day and age we live in and the type of Christianity we see, but I want you to tell you, it's not New Testament Christianity. And we get confused because we like justifying people's disobedience, making excuses for them. They have no fruit. They have no faith. They have no obedience. And we want to put them on that roll call. I don't think you should. I don't want to be mean. I just want to be black and white like the Bible is. We need to be marching to the beat of Paul's drum if we're going to be on that roll call. Because the truth is, and it, okay, go back to Friday, brother. He that hath begun a good work in you, that's God, will perform it. You're not going to thwart God. You're not going to change the fact that he saved you to be like Jesus. You're going to be like Jesus. He does it, not me, not you. It's his power, it's his spirit in us that saves us and changes us. It's real. So it's a work sovereignly done by God, not just you and me. And we need to have that in us. It needs to be real. So there's going to be a roll call in heaven. Rank after rank, age after age, members of the family of God, members of the bride of Christ. They're going to be named. And let me just remember, you know what we learn on this list? No one is perfect. Don't get me wrong here. We're not talking about you're going to be perfect before you go to heaven. No. Sadly, we will fail. Sadly, we will sin. But aren't you thankful the Lord is there to forgive us, to pick us up, to cleanse us, to strengthen us? You see, even in this list, you think of Onesimus. You think of those who have maybe backslidden a little bit. So I like this list because it gives us a reality, brethren. They are representative of all of us. That's how we need to take this list. These men, obviously, in this side, you go to Romans, we have some women there. But these men here are presented, and we know that they are representative of those who stood with truth against the lies. Amen. They represent us, Orthodox, fundamental, mainstream, historic Christianity. And that's kind of, I like being able to look back in history. What were churches like 50 years ago? What were churches like 100 years ago? What were churches like, you know, when our country started? Let's continue that. We don't need everything that the world is trying to bring in the church. We need truth. We need fundamental, orthodox Christianity. Amen. And I use those terms in a good way, as you know. The fundamentals of the faith, or the true foundations of our faith and what we stand for. So Paul lines up these men in protest against the people at Colossae who've broken ranks, who left the church, who followed after the Gnostic fantasies. There were a few. Isn't that sad? The devil is deceitful. He wants to draw people away. He wants to, through lies and deceit, draw people out of the church. So we need to be careful. So Paul, as he lines up these believers, you know what he says to us? Keep in step with these. Amen. Let's look at this. Let's say, hey, this is what I want to be like. This is the kind of Christian I want to be. This is the kind of church member I want to be. And make that your prayer. Obviously, you want to be like Jesus. But God lines up. Remember what Hebrews 12 says, a faithful cloud of witnesses. Amen. And that faithful cloud of witnesses is in chapter 11. All those who were gave their lives, they were faithful, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all of the list there in chapter 11 are the faithful witnesses that have gone on before us. They have done it. They trusted God. They trusted Christ. And God used them in a powerful way. This is the kind of list we're looking at today. These are the faithful witnesses. These are the ones we need to imitate. Remember what Paul said? And this is how we look at good men and women of God. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Amen. A lot of times, people get confused and they imitate, you know, the quirks of other people. And there was a famous preacher up in Hammond, Indiana, that he would cough, you know, during his message at certain points. And all his preacher boys would cough like him. I mean, that's not what we're to imitate, amen. And I know some, you say, well, Brother Kastner, he probably preaches like Brother Hammett or by this. Hopefully, I hope I'm my own man when I preach, you know. I'm not trying to be like anyone except Christ. But I do like my mentors and their preaching, amen. So keep in step with these. You see, Christianity is not just a collection of theological propositions. Its great truths are incarnated in people like you and me. We need to be living this truth. People need to see the truth in us. Its dogmas, Christianity's dogmas, are clothed with flesh and blood. That's what Paul's saying. So here we have the name of 10 people. And then he adds his own name to the final farewell. So let's get into our text. Tychicus is fortuitous or fortunate is his name. It doesn't mean that this is a, you know, I was kind of looking at that and I'm like, wow, it is kind of fortunate if you get to live and serve with Paul, wouldn't that be amazing, right? But that's really not what we're studying about. We're studying about who he was. Verse 7, all my state, Tychicus shall declare unto you. So he's going to declare Paul's condition. Remember, Paul's in prison. But now he describes him, first of all, brethren, this is what we need to be. He's a beloved brother. What is he? He's just simply a believer in Christ. And how do you remember what 1 John says, one of the characteristics of brethren? What are we to do? Love one another. So he's a beloved brother. How does he demonstrate his faith? By loving others. We are to treat each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. We are to love and help each other. That's the love. And truly, brethren, it speaks of true friendship. Amen. Isn't it nice to have true friends? You know, not the ones of the world like, hey, you got a pile of money, I'm your friend. Now the money's gone, I don't know you anymore. Because think about, I want, and I'll probably get this jumbled up a little bit, but there's some thoughts here. He was with Paul 10 years of Paul's suffering. That's a friend. He was by his side when Paul suffered for 10 years. Isn't that what friends do? They're with us in the difficult situations. And we are encouraged by beloved brethren when everything's going against us. Isn't it nice to have a faithful friend to visit you, to encourage you? You see, he stood by Paul in danger and in death. He was there. Back in those days, let's say it would be like we have some political prisoners today. I mean, they're supposedly not really political, but they're being used as political pawns, like people arrested in Russia or in China or in some foreign country, like Iran or Iraq, or you know the stories and the cases. I'm not going to name them. But it would be like you getting on a plane, you're going to go to Russia and visit your friend in prison. How are they going to look on you? They may keep you alongside of them. You see, back in the day when Paul was in prison, it was no light thing to be a friend of Paul. Really, Paul was under the eye of Nero. And what we have learned in history is that he was beheaded by Nero, ultimately. So here he had a close friend, amen? Let's be friends of one another. But he was also a faithful minister. When we love the Lord, brethren, our love is demonstrated by action. Amen? We do stuff for the people we love. We do stuff for Christ because we love him. And this is what he was. But we know that being around Paul, when it talks about being a faithful minister, what did he do? He was traveling and preaching the gospel. So when we say he's a minister, he was a preacher. He was ministering to the needs of other people. He had a worldwide vision. Really, when you dedicate your life to serve along Paul, he gave his life to Christ. He surrendered it to preach the gospel, to serve the people of the world, to preach the glorious news of the gospel. And he was faithful doing it. Isn't that what we need today? Faithful ministers. Truly, brethren, about this man, there was no slack, there was no slumber, there was no routineness, no slothfulness, no complacency or neglect, no questioning or weakening. He did not fail in his ministry. He was a faithful minister. And brethren, all of us know where our strength comes from. We were looking at in Sunday school, be strong, God said. We know our strength comes from the Lord. And we have to draw on that strength every day as we are praying, as we are walking with God, as we are serving God. He strengthens us. Remember what Paul said, that the inner man is strengthened, is renewed day by day. Amen. Your inner man is renewed day by day. The outward man perishes. That's what everyone sees, the outward man. It's dying, it's perished. But the inward man is renewed every day. And that's the strength that this faithful man had. But he also was a fellow servant. And get that picture. Here he is in the Lord, it says. He's a faithful minister and a fellow servant in the Lord. And the idea here is, he's a fellow slave of Jesus. Amen. He's a fellow servant of Christ. He sold out for Jesus. Amen. Don't we need some people that are sold out for Jesus today? 10 years of faithful service, and part of it when Paul was imprisoned. We know that Paul, just read some of the list that of his sufferings, his fastings in the deep. I mean, he went through it all. Amen. Tychicus was one of those men right by his side. All the dangerous and wearisome journeys. And so Paul was telling these brethren, he's saying, I have composed this epistle. But Tychicus is the one who carried it to you. And that's what he's telling. He's talking about this man. He's the one who was, he brought the letter to them. And so he's saying, hey, yes, God used me to write it, but this man delivered it. And we both have an equal reward before the Lord. That's what he's saying. We actually stand on the same ground before God. We are both willing captives of Jesus. Amen. He ministered to Paul. And then when Paul couldn't go anywhere, he went for Paul and did it for Paul. Amen. He was not an apostle himself, but you know what? He was as close as you could be. He was involved in the apostolic ministry because he was right there serving the apostle Paul. Later, we find him going to Crete. So here's a man who could be sent. You could count on him. He would do the job. He was even sent to Ephesus. So think of all, actually, he has a commission. In that commission, that's what it's saying in verse 8. Whom I sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts. And so here's a man sent to Ephesus, then on to Colossae. Onesimus was with him, as we see in verse 9, with Onesimus. He's with him. But Paul knew that these men were trustworthy. They were dependable. I want you to kind of get the idea of these epistles. These epistles were circular letters. This wasn't an easy job. So here he is, going from church to church back in those days. He went to Ephesus. Remember what Revelation says? They were a church in danger of losing their first love. He went to Smyrna, a church about to face the fiery persecution. He went to Pergamos, where the damnable doctrine of Balaam would eventually take root. Thyatira, where the woman Jezebel would soon make her evil presence felt. At Sardis, a church was boastful of its reputation. And at Philadelphia, where revival fires still burned. At Laodicea, where the love of money was already becoming the root of all evil. So here he is going from church to church, delivering the epistle. Paul's converts would have been at those churches. All the other brethren that Paul led to the Lord or and they would be coming up to him. Tell us about Paul. And he'd have to give testimony after testimony of what the Apostle Paul, what he was going through. I mean, we're talking hours and hours of ministry and serving the churches and traveling on behalf of the Apostle Paul. And then he had to go back from these churches to report back to Paul. Because Paul wanted to know. He said, he's gonna let you know all my state, shall Tychicus declare unto you, And then in verse 8, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose. So we see a twofold commission. He was sent to gather information about the churches. What was on Paul's heart about Colossae? It's like, is the church still standing? Are they still faithful? What's Gnosticism done in that church? Are they still being strong? And he needed to know about that. But also, he needed to inspire those churches, say, give inspiration in the sense of encourage them. Brethren, when these heresies went through churches, and we know that Heritage Baptist, every New Testament church has had its share of difficulties and divisions. You live what the Bible really says. It happens. No one wants to. Everyone wants everything to be beautiful and harmony and unity and everyone get along. And never, no one ever step out of line or go down the wrong path or preach the wrong doctrine. But it happens. Brethren, his heart, Paul was concerned about the scars that this false teaching was leaving. He's concerned about families who would be divided, friends who would be on the opposite side, loved ones who would become traitors to the cause of Christ. This is real, brethren. This is what was going on. And he was ministering. He was sent by Paul. He was faithful to deliver the message and to strengthen those brethren. You know why? Because he wasn't unwavering. And that's what brings churches through when you don't waver. When you stand strong on the truth of God's word, you stand with the Lord, you do what's right. Amen. And think about, could you imagine how astonished he would be when he boarded that ship with Onesimus and put out to sea, had he known that piece of parchment which was in his purse or in his bag would outlast the Roman Empire. It would be translated into thousands of languages. It would be read and studied and proclaimed among men for some 2,000 plus years, and millions of people would read about him. Isn't that amazing? He didn't know that. What if he could? Amen. Maybe the Lord told him up in heaven, amen, this is what's happening. We see him. And then we're going to look at one other man, Onesimus. He says in verse 9, with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. That's interesting. They shall make known unto you all things which are done here. What kind of conversation was that? Amen. What was Paul involved in? But I want you to think about this message. My wife sang about it. You know, Onesimus was a runaway slave. He had a price on his head. You know what it was? Death by crucifixion. That was the price on his head. Back then, slave owners, cruel masters, would devise the most horrible deaths. Why? They wanted the message to the rest of the slaves. You do this, you are going to suffer death. So he was a fugitive. Could you imagine? He was living with that. But aren't you thankful for this? It didn't stay like that. He was forgiven. Amen. He was also a faithful and beloved brother. Onesimus had one hope. He had become a Christian. And his master, Philemon, had become a Christian. And they both were converted under Paul's ministry. But here he is. He's carrying a letter too. His letter is to Philemon. We have that in the Bible too, amen. So, he's asking Philemon, Paul is, right, to forgive him. Amen. You see, now, Onesimus was a free man in Christ, but he still was a runaway slave. Aren't you thankful he was pardoned by God for all his sin? But he still had to face the consequences of the wrong that he had done to Philemon. Let's learn a lesson here. Conversion does not cancel moral, financial, and social debts. We still are responsible to face the consequences sometimes. I mean, I'm thankful when a lot of things are forgiven and forgotten and never, you know, God does that too. He does miracles, amen? But I want you to understand something about this man. Brethren, he was willing to face it. Isn't that good? He didn't run away from the consequences. He was saved now. And he wanted to go back and make things right. Isn't that a proof of salvation? What did the Lord say? What did Zacchaeus say to the Lord? Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said, today is salvation come to your house. Amen. So he wanted to make things right. He was forgiven, but he wanted to make things right with his master, amen? But he was also stated here as a beloved brother. And I want you to get this picture. He wasn't saved long, but he still was a beloved brother, amen? He proved to Paul that he was a true brother in Christ. I'm sure they spent many hours together talking about the Lord and about the Word of God and Jesus' salvation and the gospel and everything that Paul was sharing with him. He was not only a beloved brother, he was a faithful brother. Isn't that wonderful? He was unfaithful in the past, but because of salvation, now he's faithful. Isn't that what salvation does? Amen. He's on his way back. And I think Paul put that to the test. Because Paul said, you need to go back and make things right. We like to say, you need to go face the music. And he obeyed. Amen. He obeyed the Lord. He obeyed the Lord's commandments. He walked with God day by day. He bore testimony of that saving grace. And here it is. He was a member of the church there in Colossae. Now, says he is who is one of you. Here we are in the same body. Philemon, a rich slave owner, and Onesimus, a slave, in the same church. We don't believe in slavery today, and we we kind of dealt with that a little bit in one of these messages. But what I'm getting at is, it doesn't matter what class you're in. You're one in Christ, rich or poor. Amen. What a message. So he's a fellow member of the church there in Colossae. And he had a mission, brethren. All of us are on a mission when we get saved. That's what I look at. Here, his mission was this. They, him and Tychicus, shall make known unto you all things which are done here. Now, what was Paul doing? Paul was preaching the gospel to everyone in prison. People were visiting Paul. Paul was preaching to them the gospel. You can read about it in the, remember the letter to the Philippians over there? He writes about that in chapter 1. It was written about the same time. And so both of these men had a mission to go back and encourage the church. Brethren, this is what we need to do. I look at that as missionaries. Missionaries go all around and they have one goal. They need to go to the churches and encourage the churches. Paul didn't send them back to beg for money or for him or ask for sympathy for Paul. Paul wanted them to know of his state, of all things that were being done, so that they honestly and sincerely would pray for him. Isn't that why we get missionary letters and missionary visits? That we would know of the state, what are things are being done, and that we would truly pray for them. That's what he wanted. Isn't it amazing? This is something we do, but isn't it wonderful to know that's what this is all about right here? That's what they did. It was harder back then. We don't have Skype and email and planes like back then. It was ships and long journeys and dangerous roads and mountains and valleys and thieves and robbers. So what's the message, brethren? I know it's kind of a different way you're preaching about characters of the Bible, and there's a lot we could say. But I want you to understand this. They were real people like you and me. They lived, they loved, they suffered, they sorrowed, they laughed and cried just like us. They had moments of bliss. Their ambitions, their aspirations, hopes. They had moments of fears. But let me remind you this. It's all over. They are gone. Tychicus, Onesimus, Aristarchus, Justus, Mark, Epaphras, Luke, Demas, Nymphas, Archippus, and Paul. We read these names and they were shadows to us that once were men. But let me remind you, as they are, so shall we be. Will you get an honorable mention in God's book by the way you're living? By the way you're serving? And let me remind you, they are not mere shadows. Get this. They are still alive forevermore. They're just in another land, amen, where glory reigns supreme. They are in heaven's glory. They are numbered now and named over there as God's immortals. And what have they left behind for us? An example. This is how we should be. This is how we should live. This is what we need to line up with in our lives. Amen. Forget about Hollywood and actors and actresses and singers, and forget about all that glitter and fame. Forget about sports figures and the famous of this world and all the money they can make. And remember, these are the true heroes of God. Be one of these. Follow their example. That's what we as Christians should be about. Let's stand. Stand with me in prayer.